in the building. Somebody get some room and run in. Run in. Run in.
We pray that our broadcast was a blessing to you. If you would like to have a copy of today's message on CD, please contact us at www.joydara.org or at our postal service at P.O. Box 6006, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Or you can call us at 1-888-JOY-DARA. That's 1-888-563-3232. Again, that's 1-888-563-3232. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. May God bless you and yours.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. 88.1 K255BT Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 K223BI Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 KQJO St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3 He's a wonder, and the gospel continues to grow, praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul, come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Sunday Worship here at Christian Love Baptist Church, where our pastor is Reverend Larry R. Turner. We're located at 3515 Hudson Boulevard, Alexandria, Louisiana. We, the Christian Love family, would love for you to come worship with us. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m., followed by our worship service at 11. Come experience our midweek worship service on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Our doors are always open. It's always worth a visit here at Christian Love Baptist Church.
Heaven and here.
Why? Psalms 24:1. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why I asked him. We got bold enough to ask the Lord to pay it off. Stacy, watch this. The reason why is, first of all, Jesus gave us a clue when he says, when you pray, pray what? Somebody know the Lord's Prayer. What does it start off with? Well, you can go to your daddy. If our daddy was broke, would be a whole nother story. But our Father is rich. Why should I keep going to Daddy asking him for a morsel of bread when I can have the whole loaf? We keep going to our Father saying, give me a crumb, give me a crumb, give me a crumb. And Daddy said, listen, the whole loaf is yours. I finally got bold enough to go to God when I saw this. It says that the earth is the Lord's. And the what? The world and they that dwell there. Somebody, you ought to go to shout right there. Because God, the word is saying, God says, I own it all. You don't have it because you don't ask for it. Let's not go to God and ask God to pay the car note. Let's be big enough.
Yes.
Brother Stokes teaches it all so well. He says, faith without works is dead. You're walking around here with faith, but not asking God. The first one is unasked prayers. That's the reason why some of our prayers are going unanswered, because we don't ask. Second reason why we have unanswered prayers, number two, this is going to be a biggie.
Unconfessed sin.
Unconfessed sin. We go to God and we don't lay it out. We know that we have the sin, but we won't do anything about it. We'll go to God and we'll say, Lord, you said in your Bible, we'll try to use God's word against him. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Somebody, come on now, don't get quiet on me. We'll rather harbor that sin than to give it to God. We figure that if we don't say anything about it, Robert, it'll just go away. And you know what? We walk around with that unconfessed sin. He's not saying confess it to me. He's saying confess it to him. I can't do anything about it. He says, confess it to him. You see, God said, if you confess it to me in 1 John, he said, if you confess your sin, he says, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all of the unrighteous. What we do is, that is one of the reasons why we have why our prayers go unanswered, is because we'd rather keep the sin and not confess it. Have you ever really just gone to God and said, Lord, look, this is just what it is. I mean, this is the real problem that I have. This is the real problem. This is the real problem that I have. I have a sin problem. Number one, step number one in the 12 steps. The number one is doing what? Is admitting that you have a problem. You see, if you never confess it, if you never admit it, you're going to forever be an alcoholic. I'm all right. I'm a casual drinker. So if you never admit it, you never own it. And if you never own it, then you're never going to do anything about it. Unconfessed sin. Unanswered, unasked prayer. Prayers go unanswered because of unasked prayer, because of unconfessed sin. And watch this. In an unconfessed sin, in you'll find in Isaiah 66 and 18, Isaiah said, I couldn't confess it. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord, will he not hear me? If you hold this anger in your heart, if you keep it, God says, if you want to keep it, you keep it. You lay with it. You live with it. You walk around with this false facade, as if everything is all right. And you got a whole bag of this unconfessed sin. And so God says, until you get rid of that and own up to it, I will not hear. Woo! Until, you know how we do our children, until you tell me you broke the lamp. Are you with me yet? Who broke the lamp? And until you tell me that you broke the lamp, until then you will not get the Xbox. You will not get to go outside. You will not have the freedom that you want until you, and then finally that child goes ahead and confesses it, and you say, that's all I wanted you to do in the first place. I wanted you to own up to it. God is saying, all I want you to do is own up to it. Sometimes God wants us to hear our sin. Talk back to me if you can. Sometimes he wants us to hear our sin, and when we hear it, we know how bad it is. See, as long as we never say anything about it, then we can walk around with it, and you know what? We can get along with it. But when we finally hear it and we confess it and we talk, we say, good Lord. This is ugly. Unasked prayers, unconfessed sin. Number three, an unbelieving mind. The reason why our prayers go unanswered, somebody say unbelieving mind. In James chapter 1, 6 and 8. We go to God with an unbelieving mind. It's actually, Tanya, it's actually called a double mind. We have a double mind. James, the Bible says, but let him ask in what? And not what? And not wavering. He that wavereth is like a what? Wave of the sea, driven what? Go to the next verse. And tossed. He said, let For let not that man or that woman or that person think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Because what? Is what? You think God's going to give you something and you're unstable? God is not going to give you a car and you can't drive? Or he's not going to give you a car and you are impaired? He's not going to give you a car and you are inebriated? God is not going to let you drive that car. You drunk with sin. You filled with hate. And God said, and you're asking God to give you something so I can just be filled with it and I'm going to drive. He says, no, we also go to God with an unbelieving mind. An unbelieving mind is a person that will trust God on one hand and not trust him on the other hand. That's a double mind. Anybody getting it? You trust God to give you some food to feed you, but you won't trust him to tithe. That's double-minded. God won't take care of me. He'll take care of me on this end, but I don't believe he'll take care of me on this end. We trust God to give us some clothes, but we won't trust God and sow. Talk back to me. That's a double mind. We're double-minded. We're wavering. We're like the sea that's tossed by wind. And God says, if you're unstable, then I can't give it to you. You're not going to give your child, your teenager, a car and they're unstable. And so God says, that's why that prayer. Number four. Everybody with me today? Y'all hadn't left me, had you? Number four, reasons why our prayers go unanswered. Here's a big one. Here's a big one. Number four is an unrighteous motives. It's because we have unrighteous motives. We come to God with some unrighteous, here's an unrighteous motive. We're selfish. James 4 and 3. We're selfish. We ask, the Bible said that we ask amiss. In other words, we're asking for everything for ourselves. Our motives are unrighteous. We're asking for. We go to God. Us. Me. My family. I. And what we're asking God for does not glorify God. Anybody with me yet? Gotta hurry. Gotta hurry. Well, I gotta go. I'll see y'all later. That's what we needed to hear. Unrighteous motives. Our motives are unrighteous because it does not glorify God. He said, when you ask, you receive not because you ask amiss, that you consume it upon your lust. Amen. Somebody say, my lust. Car just for me. This house just for me. This money just for me. Lord, I need you to get me out. I need you to do this for me, Lord. Send down your blessings to me. You see, what we're asking God for, listen, let me tell you something. God, ladies, God is not going to give you another woman's husband. That's what's called amiss. Me and God are not going to give you another man's wife. That's what we call that woman. Now for me, I know she for me. That's somebody else. That's a miss. God is not going to give you something you cannot handle. That's a miss. God is not going to give you a $356,000 house and we're making $7 an hour. Now, you're looking at me strange. God is first going to give you the smaller house so you can be faithful over a few things. And the job making $7 out so where you can be faithful over a few things. And then what he's going to do is allow you to graduate. What? He says those prayers go unanswered.
Unrighteous motives. Another reason, are you with me yet? Another reason for unanswered prayers is not only unasked prayers, not only unconfessed sins, not only an unbelieving mind, not only unrighteous motives, but number five, another reason for unanswered prayers.
Here we go. Y'all ready? Unresolved conflicts. Antonio, you right on time today. Unresolved conflicts. Somebody say unresolved conflicts. There is a conflict that you have not resolved. Jesus says in Mark 11, watch this. In Mark 11, 25 and 26, Jesus says, when you pray, watch what he says. He says, when you pray, he said, leave your present or your offering at the altar, he says, and then go and get it right with whoever you didn't get it right with. Now, I want you to understand this. It does not mean to run behind them. I want to show you how to do it. It does not mean that you run behind that person and say, I'm sorry. No, it does not mean that. Here's how you do it. The first thing that you do in prayer, y'all ready to know? The first thing you do in an unresolved conflict is first go to God, ask God to open up the opportunity. God is going to supernaturally open up the opportunity for y'all to get it right. Anybody get it yet? It does not mean that you gotta, I'm gonna stop praying. I'm gonna go and run behind and make sure that I say, no, you don't have to do that. Ask God. Because see, as God is, when you ask God to open up the opportunity, what he's doing is working on that person's heart. To be ready to receive you. Are you with me yet? Now, here's the catch. Here's the catch, because I'm gonna make a left turn. He's also going to be working on you so you can receive the forgiveness.
Yes, yes.
Many of us, we want the Lord to work on Hannah. Now, Lord, I want you to open up this opportunity, but I want you to work on him. I'm still mad. I'm still holding this anger in my heart for him, but I want you to work on him, because he's the one who really needs it. Are you with me yet? In fact, the Lord, I want you to, you know what? We've actually gone to God and wanted him to be a hitman. I've often had to tell my wife, we get into some heated battle. We get into some heated battle. She said, Lord, go get you. I said, God ain't no hitman. You always calling the Lord in. We want God to get that person, but not us. We want God to work on Hunter, because it's obvious that Hunter had the problem, and we don't want God to work on us. Somebody said, work on me, Lord. Work on me. Work me over. David said something in Psalms 51. I want you to go one day and look at David's prayer. He says, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. Are you with me yet? Unresolved conflict. You see, your prayer won't be answered until you get that conflict resolved. There's someone still angry with their father, their dad, because he left you. And sometimes, I want everybody to remember this, there's two sides to every story. Some people have gone through life hating their father. He left me. But you never know why. Maybe because somebody told you to hate him. But you don't know the other side. Everybody in here that's a Christian, you are a judge. God has given you the position to be a judge. And you have to learn how to hear the plaintiff
and the defendant.
Many of us are reaching our conclusion by hearing one side. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that Jesus just didn't hear one side. When it came to our salvation, thank you, Jesus, that you didn't judge me. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus, because he looked through your faults and saw your other side.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, if he'd have just judged us by our faults, then justice would have had its way. But our knees brought mercy in. Watch this. Not only our prayers go unanswered because of unasked prayers, because of unconfessed sins, because of an unbelieving mind, because of unrighteous motives, because of unresolved conflicts, but lastly, our prayers go unanswered because of number six, uncompassionate hearts. Wow. Because of uncompassionate hearts. We don't have a heart of compassion. The Bible says in Psalms 21 and 13, it says, God won't hear your prayer if you didn't hear the cry of the poor. If you don't hear the prayer, because thou art exalted in my strength, so will, he said, if you don't hear the prayer of the poor, then guess what? God is not going to hear your prayer. We have uncompassionate hearts. Our hearts are uncompassionate. We don't care about anybody but us, about our family. What you give me, Lord, only going to glorify me. I don't care what nobody else feel. It's by me. I don't care whatever you give me, I'm going to use it just for me. And we have an uncompassionate heart. We'll walk by the poor. We'll walk by somebody that needs it. Here's what I used to like about the old church. My mom told me about it. There was one thing about the old church. The old church, if there was somebody, there were people that would have a need in the old church, and nobody had to say anything about it. The Spirit would tell someone. Are you with me yet? The Spirit would tell. And I remember, and I've told you this before, but I remember when my sister was in college, my mama didn't have, we were quite poor, and my sister was in Wiley College, and my mother, those older ladies in the church, would go to my mother and they would fold a $10 bill up about that small. And they would ease it into my mama's hand. Here, Julia, that gal down there, I know she gonna need something to eat. And they slipped that money in her hand. Now, mind you, that my sister was down there and didn't have any food. And that $10 that two or three of those old ladies would slip in my mother's hand would help my sister